All right. Here we are. Welcome to the Stronger Stride podcast. You're here with one half of Stronger Stride. My name is Sophie Lane. I'm an exercise physiologist, running coach, and S&C. And I'm going to be taking you through today's episode, Flying Solo, talking all things post-marathon recovery, or just recovery in general, whether it's a marathon, an ultra, 10K, half marathon. Covering a couple of different topics, but focusing mostly on the marathon, seeing as that is the most recent thing I've done. So I've got some relatable stories for you, as well as I'm sure many of you are also recovering from your marathon. Now it's 2 weeks since Sydney Marathon.
Hello, it is future Sophie speaking to you here. That, what I just said is incorrect. It is no longer 2 weeks since the marathon. It will be at least 3 weeks, if not more, by the time you listen to this. I got a bit confused with the dates and when our episodes were coming out. And yeah, so throughout this whole episode, I continue to reference the fact that it is 2 weeks post marathon, and it is in fact not. Just want to put this in case you're a bit confused with the dates, but yes, that is the reason for that. Anyway, enjoy this one. Just wanted to clarify that.
If you are in the process of recovering, or if you have an event coming up that you're going to be recovering from in the future, then this episode is for you. So we're going to go through basically a bit of physiology and science behind what goes on within our body when we put ourselves through something quite strenuous, such as a marathon. We're going to understand a little bit more about kind of the effects of that, and I guess kind of the damage that we do. And I'm highlighting these points to make an emphasis on why the recovery is so important. So why do we actually need to care about our recovery? Can't we just take a few days off and then just get back to normal? What's the issue with that? Okay, so we're going to discuss that. I'm then going to go through a rough framework, or at least some kind of concepts and principles that you can think about when you're next going through your recovery phase. Now, as always in this sciencey world, it does depend. We don't have a lot of black and white definitive answers, but what I can give you are some guidelines and principles and concepts to think about, and then you can therefore apply them based on your individual situation and circumstances. So we'll go through about 6 or 7 points there about the framework, and then we'll be going through my personal marathon recovery, what my last 2 weeks have looked like, and what would I do differently now knowing what I do know, because I have since done plenty of research about this topic for the episode. I'm going to have lots of articles linked below, so you can go through those and have a read through if you'd like some further information. But the information that I'm providing you today is based on the education and research that I've done over the last few days, as well as just in my general studies and work life, as well as some of my own personal experience. Okay, so take it with a grain of salt, apply it how you will, or disagree with it and let me know what your thoughts are. I'm open and all ears. All right, so kicking things off, what actually happens when we go through something quite vigorous, quite strenuous, something such as a marathon? It could be a 5K or a 10K, but what we're focusing more on are kind of those longer duration, kind of extended periods of high intensity effort. So it will vary. There's a bit of a spectrum. If you're looking at kind of our more multi-day ultra marathons, then it's a whole another world. And if we're looking at 10K, it's slightly different. So what my focus is on is the marathon, but you can kind of apply most of these things to either end of the spectrum. So number one, what happens to our body? Okay, we've got 5 kind of key areas that we'll be focusing on. Number one being muscle damage. So as we know, the second day, the third day after a big running event, we're quite sore. Walking downstairs is quite hard. Getting on and off the toilet can be quite hard. Getting up and down out of a chair. Doing our normal day-to-day activities can be quite a challenge because of our muscle soreness, or our delayed onset muscle soreness. Okay, so this is basically due to muscle damage that occurs during our exercise or activity. Okay, so when we are undergoing any kind of exercise such as running, we have these tiny little micro tears that happen in our muscle. Now, these are good things because as they start to break down a little bit, our body then goes, okay, that thing that we just did was quite challenging and quite hard, and maybe we weren't quite as equipped as we could be for that activity. So we're now going to grow even more muscle tissue and make ourselves even more robust and strong and more resilient, so that if this crazy person that I am inside of as a muscle cell, when they do their next crazy thing, we'll be a little bit more prepared, okay? So they break down a little bit and then they rebuild. Imagine if you trying to think of an example. If you play guitar, this will relate to you. If you don't, then it's a bit random, but you get little calluses on your fingers, right? So if you play guitar, you put your fingers on the strings, it kind of hurts it when you do it the first time, then you get calluses. Same thing if you're lifting weights in the gym or doing rock climbing or any kind of pull-ups, things like that, you'll start to get these calluses on your hands. So what's happening is your body's thinking, oh wow, this thing when I'm not used to, I'm not strong enough, my skin isn't tolerating this, so we need to send lots of nutrients and cells to the area to rebuild and grow stronger so that we're more capable. Okay, so same thing happens with our muscles and our bones and our tendons and ligaments and all of our tissue when we put it under load. So this is normal and we need this, okay? But as a result of this muscle damage, we get sore muscles. Things start to hurt, things start to ache, we might feel a bit stiff and tight and uncomfortable, okay? So that is totally normal. So muscle damage or muscle soreness or DOMS is number one of the reasons why we need a recovery period. I'll get into specifics of what this recovery actually involves shortly, but we're going to keep working our way through. Number two is inflammation. So as part of this muscle damage, as part of the breakdown, I guess, that happens within our body, we need some natural healing process to occur. And as part of this natural healing process, similar to when you sprain your ankle or you get a bruise, things start to swell. There's a lot of blood flow that gets sent to the area, a lot of nutrients get sent to the area to create a healing effect. So if we were to go through our marathon, completely smash ourselves, and then get back straight into normal training, this healing process wouldn't have the same kind of time that it needs to actually do its job. And we'd be re-stressing our body again before it's had that recovery time. So inflammation in general and kind of this healing process is number two of the reasons why we need to have recovery time. Number three, our depletion of glycogen stores. So when we are running, particularly if we don't fuel ourselves properly, which I'm sure most of us did on the marathon day because it was so warm, we probably didn't have enough fluid, which we'll get into shortly. But if you're not having enough carbohydrates or glucose or whatever fuel source you use during the event, then you're going to be depleted. I think even if you were having just enough, I mean, it's quite hard to get enough in, to be honest. So I think majority of people would be depleted. And then obviously you're burning through a lot of energy and calories throughout the run. So we need to replace these stores, which is then going to help with our recovery as well. So this nutrition part is all part of the recovery. But what we need to be mindful of is that we have depleted our glycogen stores. So things are a little bit empty. Things are a little bit low. We need the time to refill. Fill up our petrol tanks before we get back into any kind of serious training after that. Okay, so this kind of depletion of glycogen stores is sort of a 24 to 48 hour turnaround period for most events, most people. Obviously, it depends, everything's individual, blah, blah, blah. I feel like that asterisk is going to be on all the things I say today. But in general, we need a day or two to replenish these stores. On a similar note, number four is our fluid and electrolyte imbalance. So what I was just saying before about the Sydney Marathon, as we all know, it was about 100 degrees, too hot. So we sweated a lot. We sweat a lot. Don't know what the term is there. We had a lot of sweat. We were losing a lot of fluids, majority of us. And I don't know if anyone probably replaced them as efficiently or enough of what we needed. So it's really important to replenish these fluid and electrolyte stores. So not only drinking lots of water afterwards, but also getting some electrolytes, salts, some sodium, magnesium, potassium, all that kind of jazz back into our system because we would have lost a ton of it. And if you were listening to one of our previous episodes, Lydia was talking about the salts and the massage and all that kind of thing. I did notice I had a very salty head after the marathon. And my shorts were, I had some very nice kind of patterns on my shorts from the salt that I'd lost. So that was clear to me on that day that I definitely lost more than I typically would. And purely due to the heat, as well as I guess just the effort and a number of different factors. But we need to replenish these stores before we get back into normal training. Number five is our immune system suppression. Okay, so as most of you will know, when we exert ourselves and put ourselves through something strenuous and difficult and exhausting, our body obviously has to work really, really hard. And some of those other processes we spoke about before in terms of the healing time, the muscle damage, all that kind of thing, a lot of our body's attention, a lot of our body's blood flow and energy is being sent to the working muscles, okay? Because our muscles are screaming out saying, we need help, we need fuel, we need everything you've got to get this thing done. So everything else kind of gets brushed aside a little bit. It gets kind of lower down on the priority, at least for that time frame. Now, I learned a lot during my little research about this area. I always knew that we had this kind of dip in our immunity following something like a marathon or an ultra. I didn't fully understand why. I just thought, well, obviously, like, we're exhausted, we're depleted, we've used up everything, everything's going to suffer. But there is a little bit more to it that I think was quite interesting. So we have these things called cytokines, which you don't really need to understand what they are, but basically these cytokines are released to heal our muscle damage. So when we have that muscle damage we were speaking about before, cytokines are released to the muscle cells to start healing that process and rebuilding and growing and removing the damage, I guess, or trying to think of an analogy, like almost gluing us back together or adding on some band-aids and healing us up, okay? So the cytokines are sent to the muscle cells. What they're normally used for as well is for other things, other infections, other, I guess, illnesses or things that are going on within our system that needs a little bit of fighting or a little bit of defense mechanism, okay? So things such as upper respiratory infections or sore throats, colds, flus, those kind of things, they're not getting as much priority or as much attention as they normally would get. So if we've already got something lingering, the cytokines are being sent away down to our muscle cells and not being able to be utilized by our normal kind of functioning immune system in terms of an upper respiratory infection. So this sort of process occurs for about 72 hours post big hard event. So I thought that was quite interesting and made a lot of sense to me. One of the papers also mentioned a thing called glutamine, which is an amino acid, and it provides energy to our cells as part of the immune system. And apparently during a marathon, our glutamine levels drop, which could therefore contribute to a weakening of the immune system as well. There's another theory about possibly because of the high and turbulent airflow rates, because our respiratory rates are high, we're breathing in a lot of air, the air is kind of moving around quite quickly because of the speed that we're running at, hopefully, and then the constant cooling and drying of airways, particularly if we are breathing through our mouth, which majority of us would be doing if we're working at a high intensity. We're kind of getting exposed to unfamiliar microorganisms, we've got different locations, we've changed our nutrition potentially if we're, you know, not staying in our normal place if we've traveled for the event, plus the micro trauma in our muscles, sleep deprivation if we haven't slept well a couple of nights before, all of these things, as well as some psychological stress leading up to the event, can all contribute to kind of that upper respiratory tract infection risk being a little bit higher. So there's a number of different factors here, and I think what it just highlights is the importance of us giving some good time to that recovery period. Obviously working really hard on the day, that's what we've trained for. We need to push ourselves, find our limit, do that, but then allow our body to heal and recover and provide it with the appropriate nutrition, the appropriate hydration, the appropriate rest, and I think as well like some psychological rest and recovery as well as physical. So maybe if you're going away for an event or you're going away for the weekend and the run's on a Sunday, like taking that Monday off work so you can just take the time to relax, to kind of reflect on how it all went. I think that will probably could potentially play a role in reducing that risk of our sickness following an event. So I thought that was really interesting. So there are kind of our five things. We have our muscle damage, inflammation, depletion of glycogen stores, our fluid and electrolyte imbalance, and our immune system suppression. So they're the kind of things that go on. And I really wanted to highlight those so that we can kind of have a really nice baseline understanding of why our recovery is so important. Because I think for me personally, I've often gone about my recovery in the frame of mind of, okay, I'm not sore anymore, let's go just back to normal. Like, I feel good, it's been 2 days, I'm fine, let's just do what I was doing before. But I think we need to allow ourselves a little bit more time. And all of those kind of questions in terms of logistics, how it actually looks, what's the framework, all of that kind of thing, I'm going to talk about now. But as always, it depends. So there's no real one answer, I'm sorry, but it's going to vary. There's a lot of kind of theories out there. I really tried hard to find some research because I know so many people anecdotally say 1 day for each kilometer or 1 day for each mile you should take off or something like that, which you just get here, like I hear it all the time thrown around, but I don't know where that actually came from. I was trying to find it in any kind of research article. I couldn't find it, but I'm also not able to access all the articles because I'm not at a university. So there could be something, but I wasn't sure if that was just an old wives' tale. So if anyone knows where that idea came from, let me know. It seems kind of just like too easy to actually be real. Like if it was really, you needed one day per mile, like that just seems, surely that's just too convenient, right? So I'm not too sure on that, but I think that kind of principle of obviously the longer the event, the longer the recovery, I think that's logical. But in terms of timeframes, it really does vary. So for me personally, I would look at, again, this could just be a convenience thing, but roughly 1 week per 10 kilometers is kind of the way that I would look at it. So for example, if I was doing a 10K race and I was racing it hard, I think that's the key as well. You could do kind of a training run, not really push it hard. I think that's kind of a totally different thing. But what we're talking about today is like going to your maximum, pushing your limits, like giving it everything. If I was to do a 10K, I think within 1 week, I want to be relatively back to normal training. So that recovery week is going to look different for each person. We'll go through specifics of what that recovery week actually is. Is that running? Is that complete rest? Is it cross training? Whatever. But I think roughly 10K is 1 week, I want to be back to training. Half marathon, 2 weeks. Marathon, a month. 50K, 5 to 6 weeks. 100K, 10 to 12 weeks, like that kind of thing. I think in my mind, from my personal experience, from my coaching experience, and from what I've seen in the research, makes rough sense. I think that kind of guideline doesn't have to be exactly those days, but I think somewhere around there makes the most sense for me. Now, what do these recovery periods actually look like? So if I did a half marathon, what is that 2 weeks? What does that involve? Is that 2 weeks sitting on the couch? Is that 2 weeks of easy jogging? Is that 2 weeks of swimming and cycling? What does that look like? Again, it depends, but what I would suggest is definitely having at least 1 day off. So what I've written here is basically taking 1 to 7 days off running for a 10K to marathon. So for a 10K, me personally, I would probably take 1 day off and then I would do an easy recovery jog the day after, or even potentially an easy recovery jog the day directly after the run. But if I was doing a marathon or an ultra, I'd probably look at having closer to a week off. Now, this is not what I did this time, but there's reasons for that, which I'll get into when I talk about my own experience. But I think a couple of days off is great. I think if you can take a whole week off, you may as well. I think there's a lot of research to show for people who've had bone stress injuries that 1 week off every 12 weeks, like complete no running, is indicated as beneficial. So I think we could all kind of take that on board and consider that to be an option. And maybe it's not a whole week. Maybe you do a couple of really, really slow, easy, flat jogs, comfortable jogs. But I think a couple of days makes sense, right? It's not even just about, like if you did a marathon, it's not just about those 42 Ks you just did, but also thinking about the 3 to 4 to 6 to 12 months of training leading up to that point and how hard you've worked for such a long time. I think it's a really nice chance for us to look at it as having a bit of an off season, which I speak about all the time, is the negative side to there being so many events, because we could just continue to race events all the time without having any kind of periodized deload or recovery weeks. But I think following a race is a really great opportunity to have a little bit more downtime, have a little bit more rest, do some other things with your time, and just not focus on running for a couple of days or a couple of weeks. So what I would say, if you are introducing any jogging or running when you are ready for that, when you've had your couple of days rest and you're feeling okay, obviously start slow, obviously start flat. Keep it comfortable, keep your heart rate low, as we just spoke about in terms of the inflammation that's going on, the healing processes that are going on, the muscle damage that's happening. Anything that's really elevating our heart rate means our body has to work a lot harder. Our nutrition, our blood flow has to be sent to those working muscles again, and that's taking it away from the immune system and the other really important systems within our body. There's a lot of research to show that a number of ultramarathon runners have acute kidney infections after ultramarathons. People have issues with their livers. All sorts of vital organs get affected, because I think we often forget that running, yeah, while we feel it in our legs, we might feel it in our lungs, we get a bit puffed. Our whole body is kind of under stress while we're doing these things. So we need to give our organs a chance to recover as well, which seems a little bit silly, because when you run, you don't feel like your kidneys are working. You obviously aren't consciously aware of what's going on there. But everything is working quite hard to give you what you need and keep you alive while you're working at a really high intensity. So I would start with some easy jogging, maybe even an easy walk, maybe a swim, maybe a cycle. Keep it light, keep it comfortable. I wouldn't do too much too soon, as usual. My third tip, so we've got take a couple of days off, introduce easy jogging before speed. And number three is focusing on the three pillars. Now, two of these kind of double up, but I think they're both as important as each other. We've got sleep, rest, and nutrition. Now, you might think sleep and rest are the same thing, but it's not. What I'm talking about here is having enough sleep. So getting to bed earlier than usual, maybe sleeping in a little bit more than usual, or if you can't do those things, trying to squeeze a nap in, just trying to have as much sleep as possible, because that's really where we do all our healing, all our recovery work. Everything else can kind of work its magic while we are asleep. I've also added rest into these three pillars because I think our non-sleep rest time is also important. So can we spend a little bit more time off our feet? Can we not do as many gym sessions or runs as we normally do and just take it a little bit easier? So rest doesn't have to mean complete rest. It doesn't mean sitting down all day. I know personally if I've done an ultra and then I've spent the day on the couch or laying around at the beach or whatever else the next day and not really done much movement, I usually feel worse for it. So I don't think, when I say rest, I don't mean completely doing nothing, but I just think taking some of those other activities that you might normally do out for a couple of days or a week. The third one is our nutrition. Now, we know from previously that we are depleted in our glycogen stores. We also need a heap of protein to have that healing effect. We know that we've broken down some muscle cells, we've had some micro tears. So how do these heal? We need protein, we need rest, we need our body to be working and functioning well. So getting that in, our carbohydrates obviously are going to help to replenish our glycogen stores that we lost, and just getting good nutrition in that's going to support our body, support our vital organs, and support our healing process is super important. Number four, I would say to you, don't rush. What is the rush? If you've just spent 3 or 4 months training for an event, and it was an A race and it was a priority for you, then I think you deserve to take some time. What's the rush? What's the urgency? I think we're always just looking at the next thing, looking at the next thing. But let's take this time to reflect and think about, how was our training leading up to this? How did the day actually go? What was I happy with? What wasn't I happy with? What would I do differently? Just take some time for that. The final thing I'd like to say about this is talking about structure, and I'm in two minds about this. On one hand, I think we should let loose a little bit. If we've been following a really rigid, structured program for X amount of months, I think it's nice for us to get off the program and just do what we want and chill out and go for a run if we feel like it, have a day off if we feel like it, kind of go a bit more intuitive with it. But I think for some people, it depends on your personality type and a number of other factors, but I think some people could really benefit from a structured recovery period. And it would almost look like a reverse taper. Okay, so we have this, for a marathon, I would normally suggest a 3-week taper. And this would look like, say if you're, just for ease sake, if you're running 100 kilometers a week for your final training week, then the following week I would suggest doing, say, 60 to 70 kilometers that week. The one after that, I would look at doing another half of that, so maybe 30 to 40. Or is that the right maths? 25, 35, maybe 40. And then even less again for the actual race week, like maybe a couple of short jogs, not much at all, maybe 10 or 15 Ks before the race. And then if you kind of flip that or mirror that, that would be to some degree what I'd look at doing. Okay, so the first week, it would almost be, I would personally add a rest week. So I'd go normal training week, 4 weeks out, about 30% less the next week, about another 30 to 40% less the next week. Then it's race week, so it's full on taper, a couple of jogs, not much. Then recovery week, basically nothing, maybe similar to the week before where you've got a couple of easy jogs, maybe some walks, depending on what event you've done and how you're feeling and all those things. And then I would start reloading yourself, okay? So it's almost like you go through this deload, do the race, and then it's this reload where you're kind of adding a couple of kilometers each week or a couple of percentages depending on what you're up to, but almost structuring it that way. So I think we're really good at having a program, having a goal, having a focus, working towards something, building towards something and doing it. And then we're like, oh no, like, what do I do now? We feel a bit lost. We feel a bit confused. We're not sure what to do. Should we run? Should we have time off? Like, what do we do? But I think if you've already pre-planned this and you've planned out your peak weeks, you've planned out your tapers during your, oh, sorry, your deload weeks during your preparation, you've planned out your taper, why not just carry on another 3 or 4 weeks, even if it is just those three or four recovery weeks, and then after that, you're just off program and you're doing what you want once you've recovered. But at least then we've got a bit of structure. For some of us, it might be a nice kind of mental thing to be like, okay, cool, like, I've still got a few things to tick off. Like, I know some people struggle with not having that structure, not having the accountability, not knowing what to do with themselves, especially if you've been so used to following that system for so long. So I think having a few little items to check off the to-do list, whether that's swims or walks or rides or easy jogs, I think is really important. But having a think about how can you actually structure this recovery period, or are you someone who's better suited to just kind of doing your thing? If you're really intuitive, if you kind of know what to do, you've done it before, then maybe you can kind of let loose a little bit more and do your thing. But otherwise, I think structure might be beneficial for a lot of us. Cool. All right. So just a little recap, a couple of things to consider when you are recovering. I should have said this at the start, but recovery is typically quantified, this is the definition, typically quantified as the ability to meet or exceed pre-exercise performance in a particular activity, which I think is a really good way to look at it, because while we might feel not sore, that's one thing, but can we actually meet or exceed where we were before? Are we where we were 3 or 4 weeks pre-marathon, or are we still not quite there yet? There was a study that they did as well, I'll link below, looking at VO2 before and after a marathon. So they tested it before the marathon and then 6 days after. And they did it also, I think, for some people they did 3 days after, for some it was longer, all those kind of things. And they basically found that between 4 to 6 days was recovery time for our VO2 max system, so our heart and lungs. But they found that other things, and that was in a submaximal test, they found that other things took a little bit longer. So things like our muscle damage markers, which would be things like the cytokines and the kind of healing process, was more like a week, 7 to 10 days. So yeah, there is some science to say that it does take us more than just 24 to 48 hours to recover. There's definitely some systems that take a little bit longer than that. So just something for you to note there. So we talked about muscle damage, inflammation, depletion of glycogen stores, fluid and electrolyte imbalance, and our immune system suppression. And then I just gave you some rough guidelines or things to think about when planning your next recovery. So I would highly, highly encourage you, for the next event that you've got planned, if you're doing a program, or even if you're not, I would highly suggest having a reload. That's what we call it. We've got our deload and then our reload. I should brand that. No one steal it. I think that's great. Yeah. So plan your reload. That's the slogan. Thank you so much. I am going to now talk about myself for a little bit, which will be fun. So if you want to hang out with me, chin wagging about my marathon experience and more so my recovery experience, then stick around. So first off, how was the marathon? Thank you for asking. I don't think I've spoken to you guys about it because we recorded the intro for Paige's episode a few days before the marathon and I haven't recorded again since because it was Lydia's episode last week. Yes, that's correct. Oh, and then, oh no. No, it's just been that. Okay, doesn't matter. We're here. My marathon experience was interesting. I think my summary is I had a really, really fun, really good half marathon, and I had a really not enjoyable second half marathon. So I felt great until pretty much halfway, and then it got really hot at about 9 o'clock. Really hot, really hot, and everything was hard, and it was a really interesting experience. And I was telling myself, I was like, this is for fun. I'm doing this for fun. I'm doing this to support the cause of Sydney becoming a major. This is all for good reason. I'm not here to race. It doesn't matter how slow I go, blah, blah, blah. But man, it was hurting. It was uncomfortable. I obviously, as you all know, if you've listened to the podcast, didn't have the greatest preparation and was never really planning on racing it, just participating in it. But I didn't really get any decent long runs in. I think 30K was my longest. Yeah, 30K, which I just don't think was enough for me, plus the conditions. I think it was a number of things, but it was a hard day, but I I'm still glad I did it. I still had fun for parts of it. There was still a great atmosphere. Crowd was amazing. So many people actually doing the event. So many great volunteers. Like, there were just so many aspects of it that were incredible. It was just a shame that it was so warm. Nothing we can do about that. And it was a shame that I wasn't fit enough. But there are some things I can do about that for next time. So that's good. That's a plus. But yeah, big shout out to the Sydney Marathon team for putting that on. It was very impressive what they did. And I know there's lots of complaints about all sorts of things that went on. But I don't know what we really expected for them to pull out of their hat a huge event, which hasn't happened before. So hats off to the team. Anyway, my recovery is what we're here to talk about. So what I've been speaking about in this whole episode is talking about the recovery from an event where we pushed ourselves to our maximum. Now, I could argue that I pushed myself to my maximum, and I definitely felt, it's an interesting one, I felt like I couldn't do any more on the day, but the effort wasn't that, I don't even know how to describe it. My effort, I think what the issue was, is obviously I was just struggling, right? So I couldn't go very fast. I was walking for some of it. I sat down twice. So the actual strain on my body in terms of intensity, I don't think is as much. I know it's not as much as if I had like maintained, like I was doing about 5:20 pace for the first half, feeling so good, loving life with the 3:45 pacer, feeling like this is going to be amazing. I didn't even have to train for this. I'm just winging a marathon. How good. And then it all went downhill after that. I was doing 7:30. One of my Ks was 10 minutes long. So if I had run the whole thing at 5:20 pace, then I think my recovery would look quite a bit different, because I think that intensity for me is relatively difficult over that distance, whereas the intensity or the pace that I was working at just wasn't. So I walked a bit. It just wasn't as hard in that sense as it was. I couldn't do any more at the time because I was just so uncomfortable and hot. I think the recovery is different. So that's something to think about as well. If you're pushing yourself completely to as much as you can do, then I think it's a different story. So that was on Sunday. I'm just looking here, 305 meters of elevation. There were a few hills. I know everyone was going on about the hills, but it's just so hard to compare like hills on a road marathon compared to a trail. It's just not even the same thing. But that was that. So then I had Monday as a complete rest day. And then Tuesday I went to Wagga for work. And if you follow my Strava, you'll know that if I go anywhere, I love to do a little exploration run. And I was going to Wagga and I really wanted to run in Wagga because I found just this trail along the river that I really wanted to do. So I did it. And I remember it was pretty uncomfortable. My legs were pretty sore. I did 5Ks in 30 minutes and it was still very warm that day. I remember it was very warm. So none of it felt that good, but it kind of was nice to just move the body. I felt better after. Monday I was pretty sore, like struggling a little bit, getting up and down out of chairs and walking downstairs a little bit, like just slightly uncomfortable. I've definitely been worse from ultras and things like that, but definitely had some soreness. And then Tuesday was a little bit sore, had a bit of travel time, so felt pretty stiff, but then felt a little bit better after that run. Then I had Wednesday, Thursday completely off because I was working in the mines, so long days, didn't have time to do it anyway, which kind of the timing was good for that. And then Friday morning before I left, I did a 45-minute 8-kilometer run, which felt really good. So that was 5 days later. And I felt pretty much back to normal then. But what I know now is that just because my muscles feel okay doesn't mean my system is okay. So that's something really for me to consider next time. Then on Saturday, I did a 5K jog. Sunday, 14. Monday, I did 6Ks in the morning, 5Ks in the evening. This is all like comfortable pace for me. This is all about 6 minutes, which for me is like my kind of zone 2 pace. Tuesday, I just did one. Oh, that's right. I went to the gym. So I ran 1 kilometer. Wednesday, I did 6Ks. Thursday, 16 and a half. That was yesterday. And then 5Ks in the evening. So yesterday I did like, it would have been about 22 in the end, which I feel good about. I'm having today off as a rest day. I'll do a slightly longer one tomorrow. But everything's feeling good. So I'm really pleased and really relieved with how my body has held up, because as we know, leading up to the marathon, I had a few injuries going on. I had the hamstring tear or tendinopathy. Not tear. Lydia's the one with the tear. I was the one with the tendinopathy. And each Sunday leading up to the marathon, I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do it or not. I was kind of deciding. I wasn't sure. I was like pretty much not going to do it for most of the lead up. And then with the last 2 weeks to go, I made the call that I would. But my hamstring's fine. It's honestly almost probably better today than it was 2 weeks before the marathon. So I'm really relieved with that. I've still got this funny ankle thing going on. So it's a little bit of tib post, a little bit of Achilles, a little bit of just like stiff, tight ankle that just doesn't want to move properly. So I've been seeing Tom DeCanto about that. I've got some orthotics. I need to go back and see him and just have a bit more of a thorough look about what's actually going on and what we can do about it, because I really, really want to train for Tarawera, and I want to turn up on the day injury free, and I want to have like a good solid lead up to that. So it's probably 5 months away, maybe. I'm not sure. Not long enough, basically. It's never long enough, but I want to have like a solid 4 months of just like pure Tarawera dedication leading up to that. So I'm in the process of hiring a coach. Once that's all finalized, I'll let you know who. I'm really excited about that. I'm so excited to not think about my training and just do what I'm told to do and just show up and it just be ready to go for me. Because I'm just, oh, you know, all I think about is running and all I do is write programs, and it's just nice to not have to do that for myself, because I'm always different to myself to what I am to my clients. It doesn't work. I don't think coaching yourself works when you're, I don't know, different situations, but I really want to focus on this. I've never had a coach before for running. I just want to give this 50K a really good shot. I feel like I haven't yet had the opportunity to fully do a 50K properly. Like when I did UTA, it was the first one. I injured myself halfway through. Then when I did the one in Coffs Harbour, I was still injured from the UTA one, so that was a bit silly. Bondi to Manly was obviously a different distance. And then the other 50s I've done have been like the one that I did in my backyard, the 17 meter lap, which if you haven't heard the story about me running for 24 hours in my backyard, go back a couple of episodes, or that'll be quite a while back actually. And then Lydia and I did a virtual last man standing as well, which I think we got 50 or maybe 45 or something. Anyway, basically I want to have a good red hot crack at a 50K with good preparation and a solid training block leading up to it. So I just want to make sure this ankle thing is not going to flare up again once I start to increase my volume. It's Friday and I'm on about 40Ks. So I'm hoping to get about 60 for this week, and then kind of keep it around 60 to 70 for a couple of weeks. And then I guess see what my coach suggests after that, once we get started with that. So yeah, really looking forward to that. But yeah, in terms of my recovery, I'm feeling good, enjoying running, like really loving it again, which I'm really like grateful for, because I know how easily it can be taken away from us. So really trying to appreciate it, loving North Shore running on a Saturday and the other groups we do throughout the week. And also the Thursday night Crow's Nest Pace Athletic Run Club is just the best. So if you guys haven't joined us for a group run, please let me know and you can tag along. If you've got any questions, if you're not sure, if you feel nervous or uncomfortable about joining a group, or if you don't think you can do the distance or keep up with the pace or anything like that, please just send me a message. We can chat about it. Everyone is welcome, always. And we're always keen to have new faces, new people to join in. I'm trying to think if there's any other updates. My next event, so we've got Tarawera, obviously, but I'm thinking about doing as a training run, the GNW 30K. I've got a couple of reasons for that. Number one, it's on the Central Coast where I grew up, so it's just quite nostalgic. Number two, the Terrigal Trotters organise it, and I really respect and love the Trotters. That's where I started doing all my long training runs years ago. And number three, what's the third one? Oh, it's 30K. It's like, what a great distance. I just think that's a great distance. I think 30 is so nice. More than 30 gets a bit annoying. Less than 30 is still cool, but 30 is like just a nice solid distance. And that's a month away. So I feel like by then, according to the research, I will be fully recovered and raring to go. I'm just going to kind of treat that as a training run. If anyone's going to GNW, let me know. Be keen to have some company. But yeah, I think that's all from me today. We are about to jump on a podcast recording with Blake and Kelly in about an hour. So I'm feeling warmed up, psyched up, ready to go for some more recording. So their episode will be out. Let me think. Oh, before this one. Okay. Actually, really? No. Let me check the calendar, guys. Let me have a little squiz at the calendar. What are we up to? Did Lydia's come out last week? Oh, it did. Oh, so I didn't even need to record this today. Because Blake and Kelly are going up this. Okay, sorry. Ignore me. I'm just having a bit of an admin moment. I can't believe I thought this episode was going out this weekend. So this is going to be 3 weeks after the marathon now. If anyone's still listening, I don't know if anyone is, but sorry that this was a bit late. I feel like everyone's going to be fully recovered by the time this comes out. Oh man, I've messed this up. Anyway, hope it's valuable to you. Some of you wouldn't have done the Sydney Marathon anyway. Some of you, all of you, are going to need to recover from something at some point anyway in the future. So I hope you learned something. Thank you so much for listening, and I will speak to you in the next episode.